Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Donald Trump has been indicted on 7 counts by a federal grand jury in Florida. This is historic. Full stop.
Indicted again. Donald Trump has become the first president to face federal criminal charges as the Department of Justice indicts him over the mishandling of classified documents after leaving office. Charges include violating the Espionage Act, conspiracy, and making false statements. We'll speak to a former federal prosecutor about the Stitt case. Then, in a surprise decision, the Supreme Court upholds the Voting Rights Act by rejecting a racially gerrymandered voting map in Alabama.
Wow. The Supreme Court just upheld the protections of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 in ordering the state of Alabama to redraw its congressional maps. What an amazing victory. A victory not only for Alabama black voters, but a victory for democracy itself.
We'll speak to one of the plaintiffs in the case, as well as the American Civil Liberties Union. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Justice Department has indicted former President Donald Trump on multiple felony charges, accusing him of mishandling classified documents and obstructing the government's attempts to recover them. Trump is the first former president ever to face federal criminal charges. In a video posted on his social media platform, Truth Social, Trump lashed out against the Biden administration, insisting, "I'm an innocent man."
Our country is going to hell, and they come after Donald Trump, weaponizing the Justice Department, weaponizing the FBI. We can't let this continue to go on because it's ripping our country to shreds.
Trump reportedly faces 7 charges, including the willful retention of national defense information in violation of the Espionage Act, conspiracy to obstruct justice, and false statements and representations. The charges bring maximum sentences ranging from 5 to 20 years in prison. Trump will reportedly be arraigned at a federal courthouse in Miami, Florida, on Tuesday. We'll have more on Trump's indictment after headlines. Hundreds of climate change-fueled wildfires continue to scorch Canada, where tens of thousands have been displaced and residents have dealt with weeks of hazardous smoke-filled air. Here in the United States, the Northeast is beginning to see a glimpse of relief after experiencing its worst air quality in recorded history as the smoke pushes south and westward, prompting alerts in states including Indiana and Kentucky. But New York Governor Kathy Hochul warned New Yorkers to remain vigilant.
We saw yesterday some very disturbing numbers in New York City. They've come down from the 400 level, but we should never get complacent and think that the 200 air quality quotient index is satisfactory. The message is this is not over. We might get a little respite, but I don't want people to let down their guard and to become complacent about this because we have to be prepared for the winds to shift.
The U.S. Supreme Court handed a surprise victory to the Voting Rights Act Thursday as it rejected Alabama's gerrymandered congressional maps that disempowered black voters. Justices John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh joined the court's 3 liberal justices in ordering Alabama's legislature to redraw a second black majority district. The gerrymandered maps left only 1 of 7 congressional districts with a black majority, despite African Americans making up more than a quarter of Alabama's population. We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast. In another Supreme Court ruling Thursday, justices voted to uphold the right of state nursing home residents and other recipients of Medicaid to sue if states violate their rights. The 7-2 vote came as a relief to many who worried the conservative court could seek to weaken government health programs. One public health expert explained, quote, the case is to Medicaid what Dobbs was to abortion. In more Supreme Court news, 7 out of the 9 justices released their financial disclosure reports for 2022 this week. Justices Samuel Alito and scandal-ridden Justice Clarence Thomas were given 90-day extensions to file. ProPublica recently revealed Thomas received luxury travel and other gifts from Republican megadonor Harlan Crow for decades without reporting them. The Biden administration said Thursday it's halting all food assistance to Ethiopia, citing a widespread and coordinated campaign to divert the aid away from people in need. Reuters reports USAID believes the food has been seized by Ethiopian military units. The U.S. is by far the largest donor of humanitarian aid to Ethiopia, where some 20 million people are experiencing food insecurity due to the recently ended war in Tigray and a persistent drought fueled by the climate crisis. Israeli soldiers shot a Palestinian journalist in the head during a raid in the city of Ramallah in the occupied West Bank. 22-year-old Momen Sumrin was hospitalized in serious condition after he was struck by a rubber-coated steel bullet as he documented Israeli troops' demolition of an apartment building Wednesday evening. The building was home to the family of a man who allegedly carried out a bombing attack in Jerusalem last November. Momen Sumrin was one of 6 people hospitalized as hundreds of Palestinians gathered to protest the demolition, which officials condemned as collective punishment, a war crime. 4 sisters were displaced along with their father and mother.
We as Palestinians are used to experiences like this. It is not the first home they've destroyed, and it will not be the last. Their demolition activities are all about how much they hate us.
The European Union has agreed on a new plan for hosting asylum seekers following years of debate and infighting. The new proposal calls for more involvement from nations that are not on Europe's southern coast, where asylum seekers first reach the continent. Those countries could either host more incoming migrants or contribute to a joint fund managed by Brussels. The reform also sets tougher rules for processing migrants, including expediting the expulsion of people deemed unlikely to win asylum claims. Oxfam blasted the arrangement, saying, quote, EU countries plan to buy themselves out of their responsibility to welcome refugees. These proposals will not fix the chronic deficiencies in the EU asylum system. Instead, they signal the EU's desire to barricade Europe from asylum seekers, Oxfam said. In related news, at least 5 people drown and dozens are missing after 3 migrant boats capsized in the Mediterranean off the Tunisian coast in recent days. More than 2,000 people died at sea while trying to reach Europe last year. Chinese, Cuban, and U.S. officials have dismissed reports by the Wall Street Journal alleging an agreement between China and Cuba to build a multi-billion dollar electronic spy installation on the island to intercept communications from the United States. China's foreign minister denounced the story as slander. In Havana, Cuba's deputy foreign minister, Carlos Fernandez de Cossio, called the report totally mendacious and unfounded, while pointing to the U.S. military's role in the region.
We reject any foreign military presence in Latin America and the Caribbean, including many bases and military forces of the United States, especially the military base that illegally occupies part of the national territory in the Guantanamo province.
And a graphic warning to our audience on this next story. In Mexico, authorities are investigating the extrajudicial execution of 5 men by Mexican military in the border city of Nuevo Laredo. A video posted on social media shows a group of soldiers pulling the men from their vehicle, beating them, and lining them up against a wall before fatally shooting them. This comes as Zapatista indigenous leaders marched in Mexico City Thursday, protesting the intensifying violence and attacks on their autonomous communities by paramilitary groups in the southern state of Chiapas.
We are asking for attacks from the paramilitary groups to stop. We are talking about groups that are permitted, financed, or armed by the Mexican army that attack Zapatista communities. Right now they are teaming up with organized crime groups that are holding Chiapas on the brink of a civil war.
And longtime televangelist Pat Robertson has died at the age of 93. In 1960, Robertson created the Christian Broadcasting Network and for decades used its flagship program, the 700 Club, as a platform for homophobia, religious bigotry, and racist hate speech. In 1988, Robertson ran for the Republican Party's presidential nomination, taking second place in the Iowa caucus. Robertson's strong performance cemented the Christian coalition he founded as a major force within the Republican Party. In 2001, Robertson blamed liberals, feminists, and gay people for the 9/11 attacks. He once claimed AIDS was, quote, God's way of weeding his garden, unquote. Robertson also raised funds for Contra death squads in Nicaragua and publicly called for the assassination of world leaders, including Libya's Muammar Gaddafi and Venezuela's Hugo Chavez. In the mid-1990s, during the Rwandan genocide, Robertson appealed to his audience for money to fly relief supplies to Rwandan refugees in Zaire, now the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Instead of carrying humanitarian aid, planes bought by Robertson's charity mostly transported equipment for a diamond mining operation. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, indicted again. Donald Trump has become the first president to face federal criminal charges as a grand jury in Florida indicts him over the mishandling of classified documents after leaving office. Trump is expected to surrender to authorities in Miami on Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. The indictment remains sealed. According to news accounts, Trump has been indicted on 7 charges, which could mean many, many counts. On Thursday night, Trump's attorney, Jim Trusty, appeared on CNN to discuss what he knew about the charges from the summary sheet.
It does have some language in it that suggests what the 7 charges would be. Not 100% clear that all of those are separate charges, but they basically break out from an Espionage Act charge, which is ludicrous under the facts of this case, and I can certainly explain it, and several obstruction-based type charges, and then false statement charges, which are actually, again, kind of a crazy stretch just from the facts as we know it. So there's a lot to pick at eventually from the defense side, but that appears to be the charges, and it appears to be something that will get off the ground on Tuesday.
The indictment stems from an investigation by special counsel Jack Smith, who's also probing Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election and his role in the January 6th insurrection. Trump could still face additional federal charges in those investigations. 2 months ago, Trump was also indicted in New York on 34 felony counts for falsifying business records to cover up hush money payments made to adult film star Stormy Daniels and others. The new federal charges come nearly a year after the FBI found 300 classified documents during searches of Trump's properties, including at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida. Part of the Justice Department's case may rely on Trump's own comments. CNN recently reported Trump had acknowledged on tape during a 2021 meeting that he had kept secret military information about Iran. According to a transcript, Trump said, quote, secret. This is secret information. Trump dismissed the indictment, describing it as the, quote, boxes hoax. In a post on his social media platform, Trump wrote, quote, I am an innocent man. The charges come at a time when the former president is running again for the White House. On Thursday, his presidential rival, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, blasted what he called the weaponization of federal law enforcement. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said the indictment was a, quote, dark day for the country. We're joined right now by Dennis Aftergut. He's a former federal prosecutor, currently of counsel to lawyers defending American democracy. His new piece for The Bulwark is titled No One Above the Law, Trump Indicted on Federal Charges. Dennis, welcome to Democracy Now! Why don't you start off by just responding to this indictment, how historic it is, and what do these counts on conspiracy and espionage mean?
Amy, first, it's a privilege to be here. Historic really doesn't even begin to describe it. No former president has ever been federally indicted. Now we have a former president who's been indicted by two grand juries in two different jurisdictions, New York and the federal government, on two different sets of facts, alleging two different sets of crimes. That does not happen very often. And when it does, it only happens with people who live on the wrong side of the law. With respect to the espionage counts, they are extraordinarily serious. The reported allegation is the one that has been expected. He willfully retained defense-related documents that he was not authorized to have after his presidency ended. We also have the information that you described from the tape that he was talking about them to others, and there may be very serious allegations. We'll need to wait to see the indictment about whether there were any disclosures of top secret, highly sensitive national security secrets.
Dennis, I wanted to ask you about a couple of things. One is, if there's a conspiracy charge, there is an assumption that there are other people involved in the conspiracy. What do you make of that? And also, the decision by the Justice Department to do this indictment in Florida rather than Washington, because presumably the documents were taken in Washington, D.C. originally, although they ended up, many of them, in Florida. Your sense of why this decision to conduct the indictment and the trial, presumably, in Florida?
That is really an excellent question. Reasonable prosecutors could differ about where it should be indicted under the Sixth Amendment. A defendant is entitled to a trial by an impartial jury in the district where the crime is committed. It's not quite that simple, though, because crimes can be continuing and can occur in two jurisdictions. And there's a pretty good argument that that's exactly what happened here. The reason...
And the issue of conspiracy?
I'm sorry?
And the issue of conspiracy?
Yes. The issue of conspiracy, you're absolutely correct. It takes two to tango in a conspiracy. A conspiracy is an agreement by two or more people to commit an unlawful act. They both have to share the intent to do something unlawful. There are reports that there are five sealed indictments, and so they may tell us we need to await the unsealing of those indictments, which may happen on Tuesday at Trump's arraignment. It could happen before.
That issue of conspiracy, who are the possible people here? And of course, we're going to know much more next week. But we learned that Mark Meadows has testified, his former chief of staff, and what that conspiracy could be. You have all this new information about Walt Nauta, who is the valet for Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago. The flooding of the server room when they said they were emptying the pool, the moving of the boxes from one place to another. And then talk about how serious these charges are. I mean, conspiracy, espionage, these are decades in jail.
It's going to be hard for me to improve on what you just said, Amy. Walt Nauta is the most obvious candidate. It's unclear with respect to Meadows. The reports are that Meadows has agreed to plead and is cooperating on that basis. So if that's true, major if there, then he could be an unindicted co-conspirator, although he was more clearly, by inference, a co-conspirator in removing the documents from Washington. We don't know what his role was in obstructing justice. You need to remember, with respect to the conspiracy to obstruct, that it was 18 months between the time the National Archives first asked for the documents back and when the FBI conducted a court-authorized search in August, as you said in your introduction, of 2022, almost a year ago, that recovered at least 100 classified documents. So there could have been several people involved in the stall, the long, long stall to try to prevent the return of the documents that Trump was unauthorized to possess. Walt Nauta would be at the top of the list as the person who is described as having moved the documents right after the subpoena for them. There was a grand jury subpoena in May of 2022. But there are many other people. There's the allegations about gaps in the tapes. And Jack Smith is likely to know a lot more that we may find out about when the indictment is revealed, and a lot more than that when a trial occurs.
Dennis, I'm wondering if you could speculate in terms of the political impact of all of this, because clearly for Trump supporters and for perhaps other Americans, there does seem to be a concerted effort by the government to go after Donald Trump. And this, the trials will probably last into the presidential race itself. How do you respond to the issue that the Speaker McCarthy is saying and Ron DeSantis or others that the federal government is weaponizing law enforcement?
I would say that is a combination of distraction and projection about what the House is doing, weaponizing the law. I would say that the concerted effort is a concerted effort against a serial lawbreaker. We do not have kings here. We have the rule of law, and no one is above it, including a former president. It's a sad day for the country when a former president is indicted. And it is a necessary day when the evidence is so serious against him. Were there not an indictment, we would not have a rule of law. We would not have a rule where no one is above the law.
Dennis Aftergood, I wanted to ask you about a piece you recently co-authored in Salon, Clarence Thomas, Ken Paxton, and Donald Trump, the corrupting influence of oligarchy, in which you write, quote, it's tempting to attribute the scandals now enveloping two right-wing icons, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, to both men's lack of an ethical compass. Resisting that temptation is necessary if we're to learn a larger lesson about the roots of much political corruption in this country. If you could go on from there, and for people who don't know Ken Paxton, he was just impeached by, he is the Republican Attorney General of Texas, and was just impeached by the Republican legislature.
The point, the central point of that piece is that one needs to look at the structural elements of corruption, and it's not just in this country, Amy. It's around the world. And the structural element is this. It's a connection between corruption, oligarchs, people of enormous wealth and influence in a society, and right-wing parties. We quote a study out of Germany in which they looked at 104 countries and found an elevated level of corruption in countries ruled by right-wing parties. And if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. People of wealth tend, and this does not apply to every person of wealth, of course, but they tend to want to preserve the status quo or return to the past where their rights to do things were unregulated in a laissez-faire kind of economy. And right-wing parties and right-wing politicians stand for the status quo or the past. And so it's kind of intuitive that they want to capture political leaders who have influence over the economy. It's kind of intuitive that those are going to be people on the right who agree with them ideologically.
Well, we're going to link to that piece, as well as your piece on, again, this historic indictment of President Donald Trump. He goes to court on Tuesday at 3 o'clock in Miami, and now his home state of Florida. Dennis Aftergood, a former federal prosecutor, is currently of counsel to Lawyers Defending American Democracy. Coming up, a surprise decision of the Supreme Court upholding the Voting Rights Act by rejecting a racially gerrymandered voting map in Alabama. Stay with us.
The simple expression of the complex thought. We are for the large shape because it has the impact of the unequivocal. We are for flat forms because they destroy illusion and reveal truth. The artists were attempting to make art more than just something to look at. They wanted it to be something to be involved in. Something too big to ignore.
slideshow at Free University by La Tigre. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez as we turn now to a surprise decision by the U.S. Supreme Court that upheld the Voting Rights Act and rejected a racially gerrymandered voting map in Alabama. This is how Democratic Congressmember Terry Sewell of Alabama responded.
Wow. The Supreme Court just upheld the protections of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 in ordering the state of Alabama to redraw its congressional maps. What amazing victory. A victory not only for Alabama black voters, but a victory